Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, a really cool conversation with the newest member of the St. Louis Cardinals, starting pitcher Kyle Gibson. Now, Kyle's been around for a very long time in the big leagues. He broke out in 2013 with Minnesota. He was there for 6 years and then went to Texas for a couple years where he was an all-star with the Texas Rangers in 2021 and then moved to the Phillies where he pitched for a couple seasons. He actually pitched in the World Series with the Philadelphia Phillies in 2022, and then went to Baltimore, where he did a lot of winning in 2023 and helped Baltimore to over 100 victories in one of the greatest seasons in Orioles history, not named World Series, in 2023 with Baltimore. So Kyle Gibson now with the St. Louis Cardinals. He's got 104 career wins in his 10 years in the big leagues. And we had a chance to talk to Kyle right before he signed with the St. Louis Cardinals. So this conversation with John Ackerman, who's our managing editor at Sports Spectrum, took place with the intent to put Kyle on the cover of the brand new Sports Spectrum magazine, which is hitting newsstands in just a few weeks. You're going to be able to get your copy. If you haven't subscribed to Sports Spectrum's magazine, I highly recommend you get it because the new spring edition with Kyle Gibson on the cover is coming very, very soon. So you want to subscribe over at sportsspectrum.com. But this conversation was a lot about Kyle's journey and the success that he's had, being an all-star in 2021 with Texas, going to the World Series in 2022 with Philadelphia and the Phillies and pitching in a World Series. And then last year, being one of the veteran guys to help the Orioles have a fantastic season. It was really fun to watch. He got his 100th victory last year in a win over the Mets at Camden Yards back in August of 2023. And now he gets to go home. He lives in the St. Louis area. He gets to go home and pitch with the St. Louis Cardinals. And again, remember, this conversation took place right before he agreed to a deal with the Cardinals. This is Kyle Gibson, now St. Louis Cardinals pitcher, joining our John Ackerman, managing editor of Sports Spectrum, here on the podcast. Take a listen.
Kyle Gibson, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Let's start with, I'd love to start with this past year. This great season with Baltimore. First time Baltimore's reached 100 wins in a long time. Get back to the postseason. Career high 15 wins for you. You know, career high 33 starts, 190 innings pitched. Like, that is a solid year. What was different for you this past year?
I don't know. I mean, I think, the group of guys, and I have a hard time speaking about the difference between 22 and 23 because I had so much fun in Philly, right? Yeah. And that group of guys was really special. So whenever somebody asked me to compare, I'm always like, listen, whatever I'm going to say here is not a slight against those guys in 22 because that was awesome too. But, I mean, to start like with the wins, you know, those are a byproduct of a team, right? And run support and all the other things that go with it. when it comes to the innings and the starts, I think, I pitched better, you know, which is part of it. I did a lot better job of limiting damage, which I didn't do in 2022 very well. We had a really good team that played, incredible defense, which for a guy like me is really important. Once again, not a knock on the Phillies. The team was constructed a little different, right? You know, and it's part of the reason why we got to the World Series. I mean, they could absolutely mash, and they brought in the right type of players to help that team in that time. Where the Orioles, I think we kind of knew that we had a lot of young guys at a certain part of their career, and we had to do a lot of the little things right to win. And we got to 100 wins because we played a lot of really good baseball and had a lot of the little things done really well.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch, I'm sure, for the city of Baltimore, obviously for yourself as well. This was also 10 years of service for you in Major League Baseball. What does an accomplishment like that mean to you?
It's one of the things that I get a chance to look back on and probably appreciate it more Yes, in the moment I appreciate it, right? Yeah. You get there and you get to, be excited about it. But I think it'll be something I'll appreciate more later on, because it was never something that I set out to do. It was never it was just not one of those things that I said, hey, this is where I want to get to. Because for a lot of my career, I was trying to make it through that year. I was trying to, when I was in 2015 or 2016, I pitched a lot of 2016 hurt. I was trying to get to the end of the year and get to arbitration. 2017 started really poorly, got sent down. I was trying to make it through the end of that year, right? So a lot of my career, 10 years wasn't even on the horizon. So to be able to enjoy that and how I enjoyed it is to me even more important. Aaron Hicks was let go from the Yankees. We pick him up, and Aaron Hicks and I ended up getting to 10 years one day apart. We started our career in the same year in 2013 together in Minnesota. We were really good friends in Minnesota, still are good friends. And then to do that together and be able to be, recognized by our teammates together, that was really special.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. I hope you're able to kind of, because of the grind of much of the earlier part of your career, you kind of look back on that and appreciate it even more when you do get the chance to look back on it. But 10 years in the big leagues, you're now 36 years old. That's some longevity that you don't often see in professional baseball. And it kind of naturally puts you into a more of a mentorship role. Is that a role that you embrace? Do you like being a mentor, kind of pouring into younger guys as they're coming up, being able to share some wisdom with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I was reminded quite often this year of how old I was because I was on maybe the youngest team in the big leagues. We had, I think, three guys. Once we picked up Hicks, four guys over the age of 30. So being the very elder statesman, I was reminded often of that. I was so fortunate in Minnesota to have – veteran players who cared about me and cared about the direction of my career. And, there's times where you're around players that kind of want the young guy to feel really uncomfortable. And maybe that's just something to happen to that player, so that veteran doesn't necessarily really show that he cares. But, between, Maurer and Mike Pelfrey and Kurt Suzuki and, I could go on and on. Was just really fortunate to have those guys who cared about me. So when I got into that spot, someone in Texas in 2021, when they traded Lance and traded a couple guys away from Texas, that was my first chance at that, really. And I do enjoy it, because I think, I've always pictured myself more as a lead by example guy. And there are times now that I have to be a lead, with my voice a little bit. But I enjoy it because I think I try to not seek out the people to lead. Hopefully, how I act, and how I go about my business, people, hopefully want to ask me questions. Hopefully, they want to learn. And if people don't want to ask questions, that's fine too. I don't try to make myself be heard. I just want to be a sounding board to where I can, then answer questions if they come up. I don't really like forcing the conversation and forcing the questions because. There's just some people that want to figure things out on their own, and that's fine too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here at Sports Spectrum, we always want to intersect the conversation with faith as well, and you're being a man of strong faith. I'd love to hear about spiritual leadership. I mean, is that a role that you take on within the Orioles, the Phillies, other teams that you've been with? What does spiritual leadership look like within your clubhouse, within your team, and is that something that you also take seriously as well?
Absolutely. There's no doubt that throughout my career, I could go through, instance after instance of, hey, I was in this spot doing this for that purpose. This year when we traded for Danny Coulomb the last day of spring training, the more I got to know him, it was really cool to be in that same place with him where he was with the relievers a lot, I was with the starters a lot, and then we would come together and talk about different things within our team. And then James McCann, who's also another person who is a really strong believer with the position players. We had a team of 26 players, and Chapel was consistently 13 people. Wow. So we had almost half the team every week at Chapel. We would have, 8 to 10 people at our hour-long Bible studies, once a homestand. So and that wasn't because of Danny and I. That was just the group that the Orioles had. But I think we were in that place to share our faith, to share our experience is how we've gotten where we are, by leaning on that faith constantly, and hopefully, you know, mentoring a little bit, mentoring a group of players that had, you know, somebody who was at the very beginning stages of their faith, and then people who have, you know, accumulated time in the big leagues and accumulated time in their faith. So we had a really diverse group in that. And, you know, that was a major part of the fun that, that Danny and I got to have this year was having those really cool faith-based conversations. And then having conversations with people who weren't necessarily believers and them asking, hey, how do you handle this? And I always, normally I start that answer with, listen, I don't know where you're at, but, and I'm not sitting here trying to preach to you, but if you want to know how I handled this failure or that tough spot, this is how. And, you know, I think that gives me a little bit more of ability to not feel like I am seeking people out to preach to, or I'm not seeking people out to force certain things on. I'm just trying to live in a way that hopefully people ask questions. And then hopefully you're not also messing up to the point where you're kind of, you know, ruining that witness as well, because it's something that I think is important to be mindful of.
It sounds as if a lot of interactions or one-on-one interactions, you and another player, and spiritual conversations can come up. Does it take place in team chapels, team Bible studies as well? Are you a guy who will like kind of want to lead a chapel or lead a Bible study, anything like that?
I mean, I will, you know, I think there's definitely times where you get on the road and the chaplain maybe can't make it. And, you know, you try to figure it out. And I talk a lot. I enjoy conversation. I was a communications major. So, you know, I enjoy that part of life. Because of the conviction that I get when I look at a topic and decide to talk on chapel, or whether I'm sharing with a group of, you know, people that we've invited to a game, you know, the convictions I get from it are really healthy as well. Every team for the most part is blessed with the ability to have a chaplain who is willing and able to lead all those things. But, you know, some of the better conversations that you have with teammates, whether they're believers or not, some of the better conversations happen either away from the field at breakfast or lunch, or happen on the field away from that Bible study, away from that chaplain setting, to where it's maybe just two guys standing in the outfield and it looks like they're talking baseball and they're just not.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I know that faith is a big part of your life. I'd love to dive into your journey, your faith journey. Like, was there a moment looking back that you can remember that Jesus became real to you? I think you grew up in the church, but what take us along that faith journey when you really took ownership of your faith and made it your own?
Yeah, I grew up in the church, a Baptist church. My grandfather was an old regular Baptist preacher. So, you know, some of the memories I have of, you know, staying the night at their house with my cousins, old regular Baptist, on a little tangent, you know, every Sunday they go to a different church in the area. So I remember driving to an hour away to my grandpa's church and listening to him sing the message, because that's what old regular Baptists do, right? So we were always going to church. But it wasn't until I was 15 when I got injured and didn't have baseball to be a crutch for who I am, that I had to find something else, because I was rocked. I will, you know, I always going to church, but never really, you know, diving in and understanding the need. I made a play at shortstop my freshman year, in a game, heard a ripping or a popping noise, ball makes it halfway to first, and instantly, because of how I had nothing else, I thought my career was over. Like, I thought I was never going to play again. Yeah. And I'm on the field thinking that. And it's such a good reminder for me to understand that, one, there's a lot of people that go through that, whether it's at 15 or 25 or 35, that if you don't have that other thing that is important and that actually grounds you, when baseball is taken away from you, you're going to be rocked, right? So I went on my first youth group trip that summer because I couldn't play baseball.
Okay.
And came back changed. Came back with a fresh mindset of where baseball has a priority in my life, and that Jesus needs to have the number one priority in my life, so that when this inevitably happens again, or whenever I am done playing baseball, I am no longer rocked by who am I now. And it happened, you know, let's see, that was 2003, I believe. So, you know, it happened 8 years later when I had Tommy John in AAA. And that Tommy John rehab was easy for me. And finding out I needed Tommy John was easier for me because of the previous surgery and where my foundation was, having a wife who was grounded in the same thing and having a support system that was grounded in the same thing. So, yeah, did it stink having Tommy John surgery in AAA where you feel like you're right next to the big leagues? Yeah, it did. But it was not an earth-shattering event for me because of, you know, the earth-shattering event that I went through at the age of 15.
Yeah. Yeah, we hear that a lot of injuries or setbacks is really when you find out what your identity, what you place your identity in. I've seen some autographs that you do, and you sign all your autographs with Ephesians 2, 8 through 10.
Yep.
Tell me what that verse means to you.
So that signing with a verse stems back to college. Played with the collegiate Team USA the summer after my sophomore year. And Kendall Voles, a guy who went to Baylor, so a Big 12 connection there. I could see early on the type of person he was. And we just gravitated next to one another. You know, he ended up being the closer. I was in the bullpen. So we just spent a lot of time together. Well, when we were signing our, you know, hundreds of cards and jerseys that you have to sign for that commitment, he had a cross in between Kendall and Voles underneath. I was like, man, that is awesome, right? Like, what does that mean to a lot of people? So maybe not. It was a grind because then I decided, okay, I'm going to sign Titus 3 verses 4 and 5. You know, I just started it for all those hundreds of autographs. I was like, gosh, what am I doing? Man, I can't believe I just did this to myself. But I ended up switching to Ephesians just because, you know, I don't know, it was just something that I found and it really stuck with me. But, you know, it talks about, you know, grace is why we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift, not of works, so no one can boast. And for me, that's like, all right, that is what my faith is right there in a nutshell. If nobody gets to verse 10, they just understand why I believe what I believe. But then verse 10 lays out for me, and it's always a good reminder of, I am created to do the good works that God set out in advance for me to do. You know, just here today, you know, hearing Matt Chandler talk about, we were made to do this and made in advance. He knew what was going to happen. And so for me, it's my faith and it's what I do all in one. And if that's the only time somebody opens the Bible, that was the goal for me, is they see, here's why he is who he is. Here's why he does what he does.
Yeah, I love that. As you've grown in your walk with the Lord, what would you say some spiritual, you know, not habits, but what are some spiritual disciplines that you adhere to, that you follow, that have worked for you just to help you stay close to the Lord and continue growing in your walk with him?
I have always disliked reading. I have never gotten myself, I have started reading the Bible in a year multiple times, never finished it. Started this reading plan with a friend, never followed through on it. And there was a lot of times in my life that there was a lot of guilt and shame associated with that, because when you go to church, when you're around a Bible study group, you are constantly hit in the face with, hey, get in the Word every day, this and this. And I just, like, you know, in season, I'm a lot better at it because I'm on my own. I'm in a hotel, and I have the ability to open up my iPad, open up my Bible, and find a book to go through. In the off season, way worse at it. We have four kids, and I don't make time for it. But what I found probably 4 or 5 years ago was that I came to this realization that there are so many ways to feel close to God, and there are so many different ways to do it. And yes, reading his Word is very important. Don't want that to get lost. But my prayer life changed dramatically when I realized that I need to have more conversations with God. And I realized that when I'm driving to the park, if I have that 20 minutes, let's spend a few minutes in conversation here. You know, maybe it's just praying about a family need and really laying it out there. Or maybe it's saying, hey, you know, I've got a group of people coming to the field today. God, please prepare me and speak through me for this. When I started changing how I looked at my prayer life, I lost some of the shame and some of the guilt from not reading as much, which I don't want it to be a Band-Aid and an excuse. But it really helped me understand that there are a lot of ways to do this, and it looks a lot different. But I'm a lot better at that, right? Communications major, I'm a lot better at talking than I am reading.
Yeah.
So that's one way that I've really tried to do that.
Yeah. Another thing that I can we've met before, we've chatted before, but I just seeing you and how you interact within the community, serving is a big deal to you. I know you work a lot with Big League Impact, and I love that you've been nominated for the Roberto Clemente Award now three times with three different teams, which is amazing. Yeah. Which is amazing. Where does that come from? Where does your heart to serve come from?
It comes from being, you know, in my childhood. I married Elizabeth, who has an incredible heart. She grew up in the Catholic Church, and her family does so many things to help that school and that church fundraise and give back and do things in the community. So I married a woman who has a heart for it, and myself, my family, you know, we, whether it's through our church or through our baseball team, you know, the travel baseball team I grew up playing with, it was always important to give back. And I think the more involved I got when I kind of got on my own, and then when Elizabeth got on our own, it was just really important. The more I heard people, whether it was at PAO or teammates or somebody else, talk about stewardship. And when I started to realize that, one, we have been given so much, and two, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And we have a responsibility to use our time, talents, and treasure for a purpose. And, you know, so for us, it was a no-brainer when we started to really understand that. But I'm thankful that Elizabeth, I am definitely a dreamer type mentality, and she is extremely good at logistics. And I try to come up with a lot of ideas, and she finds a way to say yes so that we can make it happen a lot. And it crams our schedule, and she's excited every time we get to do it. So whenever she says, "Hey, I don't think that's a good idea," it's not because she doesn't want to do it. It's because she understands four kids and a family, what it takes. But, you know, it's just something that we've been really fortunate to be put where we are. And we want to make sure that every community that we're in, we do something, because I think it's important to us to, when you go to a new place like Baltimore, understand that Baltimore is our home now for 6 months, and every city, no matter where you're at, has a need. And we really just enjoy diving into that community and really giving Baltimore or Texas or Philly fans or Minnesota fans a chance to do something bigger in that city. Because when you ask anybody, they want to be a part of something bigger. And if they are not a part of something that's helping people, doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not, believer or not, you want to be a part of something bigger that's helping someone. And I think that's why finding local initiatives is part of what's so important to us, is it gives people in their city a chance to donate a dollar and feel like they're a part of something bigger.
We got to give Elizabeth then a shout out, because it must take a lot of logistics. All the organizations that you have helped with, served in some capacity, it's too many to name. That takes a lot of logistics. and what I love, Kyle, is that you have gotten, even when you're on the road, as you mentioned, when you're in the season, things are a little bit more structured, and you know, prayer time and Bible study time can be a little bit easier to be had during the season because of that structure. But you're also taking time to serve when you're on the road. When you are with the Orioles playing in New York, you're taking the time to go serve somewhere in the community in New York, and taking some of your teammates along with you. Where did that idea come from about, like, it doesn't have to just be at home when we're, you know, in our hometown.
Sure.
Let's do it on the road too. Where does that come from?
So anyone listening, you should look up Adam Wainwright. Is what you should look up, because Adam Wainwright does so many amazing things, has won the Roberto Clemente Award. I don't know how many times he's been nominated. But when he brought me on, we sat here at a PAO conference going into 2017, I believe, maybe after 2017. But when he asked me to be VP of Big League Impact, one, it was an incredible honor. But I had already had conversations with him, and Elizabeth and I sat with him and Jenny about how they do what they do. And man, learning from that guy on how to prioritize charity and giving, but still having margin for your family and still finding ways to involve your family, it was huge. So going into 2022, Adam had an idea for Mission 318, where in every big league city, Big League Impact created a connection for Major League Baseball players to serve, whether they are at home or whether they're on the road. We rolled it out a couple times around All-Star break, but just didn't have the time or the organization to really let it prosper. This year, I don't have the numbers exactly how many teams did it or how many places were utilized, but this year we had 30 locations, maybe 27. It was around that number. 27 to 30 cities worked out with a place for people to go serve. And all they had to do was reach out or get in touch with either Adam or I or Jessica Clipperton, our director of player relations at Big League Impact. And then Jessica made the call. And then that person found a way to get those players to that organization. The mission 318 is based on 1 John 3:18, where it talks about, you know, the fruits of our labor, I believe, are, you know, shows where your heart is, something around there. So for him, it was really important to have service opportunities, not only for himself, but other players, right? Because at Big League Impact, we're always trying to get players connected to causes that they're passionate about. So for me, when I heard him come up with that idea, I was like, gosh, this is why you're president of Big League Impact and why Big League Impact has done what it's done, because you're so good at this. And how much it was used was really, really inspiring this year. And hopefully, there's still shockwaves throughout the league and more people hear about it, because these people at these organizations don't care who comes to volunteer. They always need volunteers. And when we were in New York, you know, you had Yankee fans, you know, cutting up vegetables right there next to us at the mission, and they didn't care that we were Baltimore Orioles fans, like, or Baltimore Orioles players. They wanted to say, hey man, you guys have a great team. This is so much fun. This is so cool that you guys are here. Yeah. And it just brings awareness to all 30 of those organizations.
Explain to our listeners a little bit about Big League Impact and why it's so unique. I mean, it's not Big League Impact is an organization, a foundation in and of itself, but it's not like there's a lot of what Big League Impact does is empower players and work with other charities to move all these other initiatives along. Explain the impact of that.
Yeah. So Big League Impact for Elizabeth and I, when I was younger in Minnesota, 2015, I think, was the first year I hosted a fantasy football league. We didn't have a foundation. We still don't, because of Big League Impact. A lot of players farther in their career did have a foundation, a specific purpose, staff to help them, you know, accomplish that. We weren't there yet. So Big League Impact gave us a vehicle to help us with the change that we wanted to make, and help us with the impact we wanted to have. And then, the best way I can describe Big League Impact is that we are just trying to give players around MLB and hopefully some point players in other sports the chance to raise money for causes they're passionate about. And we do a lot of Topgolf events. We host fantasy football leagues. They've done trivia nights. They've helped us host our sporting clay shoot in the off season. All of it. And we try to, you know, take on as much as our staff can, you know, whatever bandwidth they have to when a player has an idea. And then they organize all of our all-win campaigns or, you know, strikeout campaigns where, you know, this year in Baltimore, we had four of us donating to a charity that we picked for every team win. And then they help market that and do all the administrative stuff. But the cool thing about Big League Impact is that if you're a player that doesn't have a foundation set up, or you do and you just want some help, we are a pass-through charity to get as much dollars to your charity as possible. So, of course, there's administration costs. You have to pay the staff that you have. But our goal is to have as much of that underwritten and taken care of so that when we show up to do a Topgolf event in, you name the city, as much of this money as possible is going to your cause. And for me, I wouldn't be able to do a lot of the charity events I do because there's a lot of organization and relationships that have to be built. So we're trying to really give players a chance to have as much impact as possible, not with as little as effort, because I don't want it to seem like
right. There's
no effort. There is. But we want to try to help players utilize that time because it's special and have as much of an impact as possible.
Well, you guys are doing great work. I'd love to see it. And last question I have for you, Kyle, is just, you know, like we talked about, busy life, four kids at home, 10 years in the major leagues and doing a lot of work in the communities that you live in, that you play in. Through all of that, what would you feel like the Lord's teaching you Maybe in the last year, maybe the last season, is there something that the Lord's kind of been teaching, talking to you about that you could share?
Man, that's a good question. I think that through my kids, he teaches me a lot. I learn a lot about my shortcomings when I'm around my kids, and that's not to be meant to be a negative thing, but our kids are a product of their environment. And when I see my kids not showing patience, I think it tells me something, right? When I see my kids acting a certain way, good and bad, it tells me something. So it is convicting to see your shortcomings come out in your kids. But I think with, especially with the trade in 2021, being back in Philly in 2022, going to Baltimore and what that decision looked like, what the decision looked like in the fall and winter of 2019 to pick Texas. I've always said it, right? I'm going to be wherever, wherever I'm supposed to be, right? But I can look back and say that every step along the way, the last however many years, God has been faithful to have me exactly where I need to be. And it's easy for me to go into this free agency and say, okay, I'm just going to trust and see wherever I'm supposed to be because that option's going to arise. And even if the 3 to 5 to however many teams, one team are the options I have, I should probably trust the fact that the right option is in one of those places. Right. And even if there's some uneasy part about making the decision, because each time there has been, I don't necessarily think that that is unhealthy or healthy. I just think it's a reminder. You've been in the right spot every single step along the way. So know that when you show up to this new place, you're right where you need to be.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Cal. Appreciate you taking some time to join us. It's fun to watch you and Elizabeth steward what the Lord has given you so well and serve the communities that you're in. So, thank you for taking some time. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
And many thanks to Kyle Gibson for joining us here on Sports Spectrum. And certainly a special thank you to John Ackerman for conducting that conversation, that interview. And that took place down in Florida just a few days before he signed his 1-year deal, Kyle Gibson, that is, with the St. Louis Cardinals. And the brand new edition of Sports Spectrum's magazine is going to be out in just a few days. So you want to subscribe right now. That way you get our spring 2024 edition with Kyle Gibson on the cover. And yes, we did get a chance to follow up with Kyle and talk to him about going to the St. Louis Cardinals. So I promise you the article, it will be updated with some reaction about going to St. Louis. This was a fun conversation to kind of look back, to see what God has done, to go through that last season with the Orioles, to see the Bible studies and the chapel services and just really cool stuff. And to think now that Kyle can be a little bit of a replacement in St. Louis for one Adam Wainwright, who's now retired, and be a spiritual veteran leading pitcher within that Cardinals clubhouse. So all the best to Kyle. We do appreciate him coming on the show, and can't wait to watch 2024 Major League Baseball and see Kyle Gibson do his thing at Busch Stadium with the St. Louis Cardinals. So we appreciate Kyle. Thanks again to John Ackerman. Thank you as well for tuning in. Make sure you go to our website for all of our content, sportspectrum.com. We've got some things we're putting together with the website that we're really excited about in 2024. So I can't wait for you guys to see that. That's where all of our content can be found, articles and devotionals and podcasts. And of course, whatever app you're listening to today's podcast on, please make sure you click that follow button or that subscribe button so that you don't miss any more episodes of Sports Spectrum's podcast. And then if you're on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review and a 5-star rating. That just helps get the word out. We just love you guys, and we're so appreciative that you would check us out and trust us to have conversations on sports and faith like we do. Our goal, to see Jesus increase and to see ourselves decrease and to see the Lord glorified in the sports world. We love you guys. We're so glad you tuned in, and we'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum.